Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, hello, my lovers and friends. Lovers first, friends second. That's how I run my life. Thank you for listening to the podcast. I've got some news. We're having a little break, a sabbatical, a siesta. So in the meantime, just listen to the back catalogue. And if you've heard it, listen again. For our very last episode before our big break, we have our big break. We've got the amazing Dolly Alderton. Very, very honoured to have Dolly Alderton. She's one of my favourite writers. She's absolutely great. So that's our goodbye treat. You know when you go away and you leave your kids? here you go, here's a present. That's what's happening here. Okay? Can I say, and like a lot of podcast hosts, and that's what I am, hold my hands up, say, oh, I liked your book, I like your radio series. They don't mean it. But me, I loved your book. I've still got a little bit to go. I'm saving it as a treat. Oh. It's so good. Me and Brett talk about your writing. You know Brett Goldstein.
Yeah.
He loved your writing. Well, I got in trouble, didn't I? Because I got the wrong end of the stick with something.
I know, but that was me being a psychopath.
No, but he hadn't started your new book, but he was saying how much he loved your writing. And he had your book on his shelf, just that one book.
Yeah.
So because we were away. So I thought he was saying about that book.
I know. And then I bumped in and I said, Brett hasn't read my book. And you're like, yeah, he has. And then I saw Brett. And I was like, why? So you've read my book then?
And not said anything.
And
that would be hell.
Because he'd said to me, I'm not reading it because I'm too busy or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I was like, he's told Lou. And then I went into this spiral and like,
oh God.
Brett has texted Lou a diatribe about the book and how much he hated it. And he's pretending to me like he hasn't read it. Because you know what? I'll hold my hands up. I've done it.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I've done that when I've gone deep. I've read someone's book who is someone I really like and respect, and it's not good. And me and my friends are having a discussion about it. So I pretend to the person that I haven't read it.
Yeah, fair dues. Yeah.
So I went off into a huge spiral. Obviously, it was just a mistake. I think what that whole exchange revealed to me is that it doesn't matter how many books I put out.
Yeah.
The 3 months before publication, I am. Everything I don't like about myself comes to the surface.
Yeah.
I can feel it's like a beast that awakens in me.
Yeah.
It's 3 months before and about 2 months afterwards.
Yeah, it's just the 5 months.
It's just the five months of me being a narcissistic, insecure, desperate
psycho. No, I messed up. But it's so funny that it's so me to give someone a compliment and that backfire. Very me. No, he thinks you're brilliant, as do I. Excuse me, can we take a woman's opinion for a minute? I've read two of your books, only two. How many have you done?
Three.
Oh, I'm the one behind.
Well, there's Dear Dolly, but I don't think that's a real book, really.
Oh, really? Is that a collection of
collection of columns, yeah.
A few columns, your essays.
Yeah, it's a fake book. When you open it, it's just blank pages.
Anyway, your book is wonderful. Really, really nice.
Can I tell you why that means so much to me coming from you?
Please.
First of all, I think you have excellent taste and I think you're the funniest woman alive. But you're a comedian.
Yeah.
And this novel's about comedians.
It is. And it's
so
that's
I was a bit
like
nervous.
Yeah.
I was a bit nervous about getting it right. I was so pleased to spend so much time in the world of comedians. You know, I interviewed Ivo Graham, was like my main consultant on it.
Great.
I read lots of books by comedians. Frank Skinner's Diaries on the Road was like a huge reference for me. And obviously it was great writing from a male perspective. I interviewed loads of men on the kind of relationship heartbreak side of it. And it felt, having written so much about stuff, about myself and about stuff that themes that pertain directly to my life, it was a real kind of creative holiday
Yeah.
To do that. And then obviously, like 2 months before my book about male comedians comes out.
Oh, Russell Brand.
The headline everywhere is comedy about to have its Me Too moment. So I still haven't got the nervous call from Penguin where they suggest that in the paperback edition there's like an extra chapter where Andy vocally disapproves of rape. But
no, why
I'm
is
sure
it
it's coming.
No, but also why do we have to get our butts involved in everything the boys have done? Like I got into
it. It's our job though, apparently. We have to fucking change it all. We have to say the right thing. We have to defend it. We have to say why we didn't call it out. We have to do all of it.
No.
What were
no,
you gonna
no,
say?
No. Well, I got interviewed by someone from The Guardian, lovely lady. But she was like, can we talk about Russell Brand? I said, I'll say a little bit about it, but I don't want my thing of me writing a book to be overshadowed
so
by
annoying.
Men's bad things, my good thing to be overshadowed by men's bad. And she was like, yeah, yeah, fair, you know.
It's annoying that you had to, like, I remember when Greta Gerwig, she had a feature out, and I remember listening to her on Fresh Air, and this was when I was
doing... Fresh Air, she did.
Yeah, and this was when I was doing the high-low. So, like, I can't even keep track of every week the absolute bollocks that was coming out of my mouth because we had to have an opinion about everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I remember Terry Gross.
Part of the problem.
Women, I've been saying it for a long time, they have been given too much power.
They
I do
really
think that sometimes.
I think there's obviously some women are cunts and that's not addressed, but I don't think
I
it's...
should not have been given that, giving an opinion every week. I do not think.
Once a month,
but I
not
should have
on
been
the bad cycle.
No. But anyway, I remember listening to Greta Gerwig on Fresh Air and they were like, so you've worked with Woody Allen, like, what do you think? And she got quite snappy in the interview because obviously she'd been asked about it so many times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she was like, this is my first feature film and I've been working for it my whole life. Why is this now?
Yeah,
why
is
it on me?
Yeah.
And I remember at the time, one of my probably bad takes was I was like, you know, I said that I do think it was, she had a responsibility. And now that I'm further into my career and a bit,
yeah,
I think that absolutely she didn't have a responsibility in that moment.
We were allowed to change our minds.
Yeah. Anyway.
You did do a massive podcast. That got numbers.
I did get the numbers.
Oh, yeah. Shame you can't promote your book on that one. this is a question I want to ask you before we get into the quickfire round.
Yeah, go on.
Do you find writing in different countries makes you more or less creative sometimes?
More creative. Do you find the same?
Yeah. And when I went to Paris, I felt very creative.
Yeah.
And I think it's because all the poets and stuff, the energy of them was around.
Yeah, I think probably. I mean, look, you're talking to a girl who is like incredibly basic and obviously wants to have a mug that says Paris is always a good idea and have French little flag bunting hanging in my kitchen. I do think that the spirit of a place and the creativity of a place and the soul of a place obviously does have an influence on your work. But more than that, I love traveling and writing.
Mm.
I find the clarity and self-awareness of the things I was thinking about at home, not just with writing, but with relationships, with everything, I find it is so much clearer when I've got distance.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. At some places I can't write, some places I can. I don't know. I stepped off the plane in LA, but the first time I went to LA and I honestly got a voice in my head going, anything's possible.
Did you?
Yeah. So I do think different countries have got different energies.
See, I think I would find, I've heard writers say LA can be, English writers say LA can be quite oppressive. Because,
not writing. I think I wasn't actually writing that much at the time. I was just doing stand-up, but I think the message of anything's possible came to me.
What's it like? What's it like, the bright lights of LA? I've never been.
I think it's gone downhill. Like, I used to want to live there and I don't want to live there anymore.
Right.
Is it because I came out of a spiritual meditation meeting and had an argument with the parking attendant? You've got to ask some questions. I don't know. But straight out of the spiritual meeting and, what are you on about, you mug? Yeah, it didn't last long. Anyway. Quickfire questions.
Yes.
Quite agree. Quickfire round. Are you ready?
Yes.
It doesn't actually have to be quickfire.
Okay, good.
It's a misnomer. How many healers do you have?
Oh, I have... So last year there were a lot of healers on rotation. There was a lot because there was an osteopath who was a healer.
What was their name?
Guy Gold.
Oh, no.
No.
I don't know. Oh, I know Guy
He's
Gold.
He's great in Camden.
He is opposite Hattrick.
Yeah.
Which you won't go into because no TV policy.
Yeah, no TV.
Is he magic?
He's magic. It's also an osteopath / very good coffee shop.
Mm.
that did Great Cinnamon Buns. So I saw him every week.
Every week?
Yeah, I have really, really bad lower back problems. I would sometimes, when I'd be on my front with that little hole with my peepers peeping through, I would cry sometimes.
I'll cry, I'll come.
I did come actually. At the chiropractor?
I have actually, yeah. It's in my book actually, yeah. It's, I did.
Really?
Yeah, I did, because he did something magic on me and I accidentally jazzed in my pants. And then
zero groin area touching.
Yeah, he said I didn't, and I said I know, because he knew. And
what did he say?
He said I didn't touch you anywhere, and I said yeah, I know. And it happened twice. It was an energy. Sometimes energy builds.
That's so interesting, because do you know what else I think it is? I think if you're a strong, independent lady,
yes,
identify. I think that there is a very profound feeling of being able to relax and feeling held and nurtured and maybe even like fingered. Loved and fingered.
Yeah. Loved.
Ditched.
Yeah.
When someone who you are hiring looks after you.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a weird energy thing, because I'd see him all the time and I did put him on a bit of a pedestal.
Why did you feel...
Yeah, I got barred.
You got barred.
Yeah, I did get barred.
I would imagine you probably felt...
I did get barred in the end, Dolly, yeah. It was a different lifetime ago, yeah. He said, I don't think I can treat you anymore. And I said, yeah, fair enough, yeah.
Is this your most Samantha Jones story?
No, there's more.
Did you feel weirdly vulnerable after that?
No, I felt very erotic.
You felt great. Felt great.
Anyway, back to Guy Gold.
He was a healer. He gave me great life advice. I remember him telling me this thing about, this is so crazy. I mean, how would I ever check that this was true?
Yeah.
This would just be osteopath bollocks. But I remember him saying that he could feel on someone's lower spine, on like a nodule of their lower spine, he could feel their neck from there. Like he could feel.
Yeah, I bet. I bet he could. Yeah, Guy Gold's not going to lie to you. Not about that. No way. My cranial sacral woman, this is a woman now, she says when she's like tuning into someone's body, she can feel, she said, I never judge anyone because I'm a bit clairvoyant. So I did ask her, she didn't volunteer this information. She said, I can see where people's suffering has come from. So if they're a bit of a psychopath, I can sort of see back to why. So I would never judge them. I thought, God, I'd love that power.
Yeah.
Never to judge anyone, to just be like, oh, you're, which we all know, but it's different, I think, if you can feel what they felt.
And to actually see the root of all their country.
Yeah, usually daddy, am I right? and I don't mean that, actually. Back to my earlier point, women can be aunts. No, I'm trying to get rid of my burning resentment towards men.
I am as well, by the way.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, writing a book about men really helped.
Did it?
Yeah.
So you quizzed men, interviewed men about their
heartbreak,
and they're just the same as us, I suppose.
It was like the biggest all-girls school shock, this 34-year-old woman discovering that, first of all, men are individuals and are quite different to each other.
Yeah, great.
Found that very weird.
Yeah.
They don't all say the same stuff.
Lovely.
And just as we have the propensity to obsess and have kind of insecurities that punctuate heartbreak and make it like unbearable, men have exactly the same. Some men, depending, like personality dependent, apparently they have personalities.
Wow. And they don't all like football.
They don't all like football. I know.
No, my friend is on antidepressants and they help take away her obsession, because she's quite obsessive about boys. But it's never about the boy. Mm. Like, it's always about what it triggers for you. So everything's about ourselves. And even though we know that, I used to be so obsessive about men.
In what way?
Just like... obsessed. Like, if I liked someone that was totally wrong for me and been proven to be an absolute a-hole, I'd be like, you know, the classic, like, I can change him. Da, da, da. And then just like thinking about them all day long.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you put your jumper on, like, maybe if I wear this jumper, they'll love me.
Yeah.
It's pathetic, but it is. But I think I've come through that now.
Well, that's freedom. Yeah. Like, most people, I think, kind of have that for life.
Oh.
Most women I know have that for life.
Really?
A bit, yeah.
Getting these antidepressants. did I ask best advice you've ever been given?
No.
Oh. Or given yourself, because you give advice. Don't forget that.
I think, I mean, you've just given a really good one, which is like so trite, and I hate putting it in my column because it sounds so like I'm just phoning it in. But like, when something is feeling so unbearable, to look at what that is about you. Like a therapist said to me this thing once that I remember thinking was the most insane fucking thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
But I do think there's something in it where she's like, unless someone dies, whatever terrible thing happens to you, you had a part to play in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And also, floss your teeth.
Oh, yeah, I do that.
It took me, no one said that to me growing up. I didn't start doing it till my 20s. I think it is appalling that not everyone does it.
I know. I mean, I only started last year, to be fair.
Can you believe the difference, though?
Mm, I know. How regularly do you do it, though? Because I'm on 3 times a week. Is that enough?
Yeah, it's not every night. I'm doing about 3 times a week.
Yeah, that's actually fine. That's a pat on the back for us. Yeah. How many hearts have you broken?
God, not that many. Maybe one. Two, I think. Hearts, yeah. Okay. How about you?
There's still time. Well, a few, but when I was younger, I think now I'm sort of more of a niche market. I was very popular with men when I was a psychopath.
They do love that.
Yeah. I've never been more popular as when I couldn't give a shit about them.
I know.
I was absolutely gone in the head. Like, I would just like finish with them and be like, pathetic that you're crying. Whereas now I've much
more. Why do they all love that?
I don't know. But also, I was like 22 to 28, so might have been that. I don't know.
No, they love, like, you know, that really horrendous 90s advice that everyone is like, ignore. Deep down, I do kind of know is true.
No, I think that's true.
If you're really mean to a man, they are obsessed with you.
Yeah, but what are we going for? We're not going for numbers. We're not in high school. So you could go for numbers where you're like, yeah, this guy wants my number because, you know, I gave him a Chinese burn or whatever. But like, what we want is a soul connection. And you don't be mean with a soul connection.
Totally. And that's the difference between attention and love, I think. Yes. If you want to get like loads of attention, then be a fucking psychopath bitch.
Yeah.
But that won't get you love.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. That's really good soundbite, actually, Dolly.
And now it's time for Terrific Spurific. And now it's time for Terrific Specifics.
Touch queers. What am I thinking about touching? You've got 5 questions to guess. It's not rude.
Oh, it's not?
And I'll give you some clues.
Okay, a kitten's belly.
No, but you do know me. But no, you know, it's a person.
It's all downy. Oh, a person.
Yeah, I've given you a big clue there.
Okay.
Because your first guess was so good, but it wasn't in the right direction.
Who do I really want to touch? And it's not naughty.
It's not naughty, no. Who do I really... Well, they could make it naughty, but I don't think it's naughty.
Anthony Hopkins.
No.
No.
A good guess, though. This guy, this fella's dead. He wears a suit, or he wore a suit, and he's got 2 first names, and he's got a naughty boy's name for the first name, really. And he was in a band, and they were quite big.
Boy band?
No, well, sort of man band.
A man band?
Yeah, man band.
A man band.
You know, back in the day, it's like, it's elegant. It's
George Michael.
It's Dean Martin. It's... The biggest man band of all.
He'd be... The Rat Pack was the biggest man band.
It was a bit.
He would be lovely to touch.
Wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Dean Martin. Well, I'll leave that hanging there. Okay. You cuddly girl? Affectionate.
Yeah, very affectionate.
Lots of nice friends. Are you seeing anyone at the moment? That's very rude.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
I'd love to know who.
Are you seeing someone?
No.
No.
I've got very much that sort of single energy. Yes. Who are you seeing? Can I ask?
Okay, here's something interesting. Mm. I went through a phase when I turned 30 of only dating men much younger than me.
Love that.
I think it was my reaction to turning 30 not being able to cope with it. Did you ever go through that phase?
I'm just coming out of it.
Really?
I'm a lot older, but my last one was too young. But now I'm going to date in my 16 years. But now I'm going to date in my age range.
So now I've gone older. So the guy I'm seeing now and my ex-boyfriend, there is a 20-year age gap between them.
Really?
Yeah, which I find quite horny.
And father and son.
They are father and son. I think that younger thing was really fun for a while. It was great.
Yeah.
And I was like madly in love with someone. I was in like a long relationship, like for me, long relationship. But it was definitely, it was an existential panic reaction, I think.
And also, apparently my therapist said it's to do with power dynamics, because when I split up with the young one, she said, you need someone that you can stand in your full power with, that's equal. And I was like, yeah. And she said, that's scarier because you don't get to call all the shots.
Totally. Like, okay. And also I think, you know, it was probably at the time when your career was like really hitting its stride. It was the same time my career was hitting its stride. There was definitely something about it will be less complicated with someone who's younger. They won't be competitive with me. They won't be resentful.
They've still got an ego, and it still does. Even though they say, oh no, I don't mind, I love you being successful.
Yeah.
It's so hard for men to be less successful than their partner.
It is. Which is so annoying. And actually the younger thing I think makes a virtue of it in a way that disguises it.
Yeah.
But it still would rear its head in the same way it did with every boy my age. So now I think old is good. I think it's a really interesting conversation, actually.
Yeah, like, I do. Yeah. Power in relationship, because ideally you want it equally, but you don't know what you're doing and why you're doing it. Sometimes you need to unpick it.
Mm. Are you a cuddly girl?
Yeah.
Are you?
Very affectionate.
But so a friend affectionate, I'm very affectionate.
Yeah.
Kitten affectionate, very affectionate.
Oh, you've got cats.
Yeah.
You've got a cat?
Got a cat.
Oh, I love my cats.
I know.
Yeah.
I found it very difficult leaving her today because she's had her first upset stomach, I'm afraid to say, this morning. First ever. She's only just over a year old.
Mine have had about 10.
Really? I was looking at cat probiotics today.
Oh, lovely, yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Monica posted a picture of a cat. And
that was me. Yeah,
is that your door?
Yeah.
Such a nice door.
Thank you.
She said, is that your door to Monica? She said, no, it's the cat owner's door. And then I was like, that's Dolly's door. It's absolutely lovely, that
Thank
door.
You so much.
What door is it?
It's a door to a wardrobe.
It's absolutely lovely.
Thank you.
Wow. Yeah. Well, okay, lovely. Okay.
So, yeah, just to answer it, I am cuddly, but romantic cuddly is more complicated for me because I love cuddling right before I go to sleep.
Yeah.
And then I wouldn't spit on a person who was, like, on fire in the night when I'm sleeping. I cannot be touched when I'm sleeping. Right before, lovely. Wake up, lovely. During the night, cannot handle.
Really?
Yeah. Do you like all night?
Sometimes I do like to be spooned. I mean, it doesn't maintain, but I like to go to bed like that, and then we both sort of think, come on, this is not reasonable.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of waking up, you know, the same
in
position,
someone's arms.
Not gonna happen. I'm a wriggler, you know.
Me too. Flailer.
Put that down.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Who's that guy that said, I don't want any club that wants to have me?
Oscar Wilde?
Yeah, he's not saying that about Cuddle Club. Okay, have you got any health complaints?
No.
Not one?
Well, this lower back.
Oh, lower back, yeah. Here we go. We'll find out what that is.
Okay, go on.
Do you believe in Louisa Hay? She says that different ailments come from different emotional things.
I am totally nuts as a person, so I believe in all this kind of stuff.
That's sane. That's very sane. It is true, though. It is true, because I only get knee problems when I'm worried about my career and stuff.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Well, do you know what? So this lower back was really, really bad right before my TV show came out. And now it's really bad again and I'm about to have a novel out.
Back represents the support of life.
That's that then?
Yeah. I know that life always supports me. That's what you've got to say to counteract
okay.
it. If you're in a queue, wherever, you just say, I know that life supports me and try and feel it in your body.
Are you into alternative medicine stuff?
God,
I know
yeah.
you're into alternative
yeah.
spiritual stuff.
Yeah. I have a joke about it on stage where I was like, look, if I broke my leg, I'm not wafting an incense stick over it. Not again. But but I do think we have to balance. It's mad not to sort of balance emotional and physical.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I agree with that.
We're a whole being. We're not like, it's so stupid that we don't have more research done into it. It's because, well, don't get me started on Big Pharma. No, I don't have any spicy opinions. I just think it is like a multi-billion-pound industry.
Yeah, yeah,
so it's
yeah.
going to be hard to change. It's slow to change. But I think people now are realising. Also, people don't want to take responsibility for their own health because it's easier to say it's not my fault.
Yeah.
And play the victim.
Yeah. I totally agree with you about that balance of emotional and physical.
Yeah.
Actually, going back to my cat's diarrhea, I think...
Please.
We're all desperate. I think it's because she's had quite an exciting week.
Oh, go on. What's happened?
Just people have been in and out of there. I've got her a new toy, automated toy. She had her vaccines. We had to wait. She's an indoor cat. We were waiting ages for the Uber and her eyes were just like popping out looking at the world through a carrier.
Oh, wow.
And I just know what I'm like and I'm wondering if that's given her the dicky tummy.
Yeah, you get the runs, don't you?
I get the runs when I'm overstimulated.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. This partner's got a lot to answer for. Yeah, well, mine have had loads of dicky tums, but I don't think the flat's big. And I want to move to a house with a garden because they've only got a little bit of outdoor space. But since they've got the cat flap in the bricks, they're a lot happier and they haven't had a runny tummy because they can just go out at 4 a.m. and sort of look at the moon.
Do you worry about them going outside?
Cat-proofed. Mm. But I mean, it's only as big as this.
Mm. So it's That's crazy. Perfect.
Yeah.
I can't do that with Goldie. Because I've got a tiny bit of garden, but it's right on a main road. So I can't.
You can't cat-proof it.
The battle in my head of whether I should let her out or she should be in is like a daily, it's like the main moral maze of my life.
I think, can you not cat-proof that little bit? Because it's easier than you think to cat-proof something.
It's a hedge.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's harder than you think with a hedge. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think you've got to move. Take the door with.
I'll take the door with.
Take the cat with, take the door with. Hope I've helped.
Cuddle recipe number 101. Take two arms, wrap them around something and don't let go. Unless the person asks you to let go. Or animal.
Are you romantic? That's what it says here.
Yes, horribly. So, like so much. I think it's like my main character flaw. Way too much.
Is it in a traditional way? Or have they got
in every way? Like, in terms of like, being a romantic in a traditional way, like I can find a way to make something into almost everything into a story.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's nice.
It is nice. It definitely means that I could be presented with like the worst man alive and I could find a way of making him.
No.
I know.
Don't love that.
And then romantic as a person, yeah, I'm like, in terms of like a partner,
yeah,
I'm so extra. I would do insane things for what someone that I'm in love with. Like, I remember I dated this guy and I asked him very romantically who his first wank was about.
That's nice.
And
now that's romance,
he
yeah.
He said it was when he was like 11 and it was like the Debenhams underwear catalogue.
Yeah.
So I went on this one woman mission going, trying to find through the Debenhams archive, like speaking to someone at Debenhams in the old like cataloguing department, trying to find the exact catalogue that he would have had his first, like the first woman he desired. And I wanted
bring her
to
in the front row.
Marjorie is here. She's in a twin set now. Yeah. She's got some Werther's clanking around.
She's 6 pockets. Fill your boots. I've paid her extra.
Fill your boots. But yeah, those sorts of mad.
Well, what were you going to do when you found her?
I wanted to make like a gorgeous, like a collage.
Yeah.
And then frame it like a sort of like a pin-up collage.
That is spooky.
Yeah. Stuff like that, I'm really like.
Yeah.
Or like, I love finding out what someone's favourite thing from their past is, like their favourite.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Childhood toy or their favourite, like first song they loved or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Just doing stuff like that. I love finding out people's favourite food, making it as perfect as I can, doing like packed lunches, love leaving notes everywhere.
That's really nice.
I love loving someone.
Yeah.
Are you romantic?
Yeah, I am actually.
I imagine you are.
Yeah, but I don't like when it's pressure on it, like organized fun. Like Valentine's Day, I find even if you don't put a, like my ex made a meal and we got each other presents and stuff, but his were a lot more thoughtful. And I was like, oh shit, I just spent some money. Like it, you know, then I felt bad about mine. So even if you don't put an expectation on it, he's like, even though we said we're not going to put an expectation on, there's still an expectation. You know what I mean? Like he was stressed about the dinner being right. And, you know, and it just, I hate when it's too planned. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't like that. Same with planned horniness turns me right off.
Really? Yeah.
And I don't like, you know, anything that's someone's had to like.
Yeah.
I can't explain. I don't find it very sexy. And I also don't like romantic commerce.
Yeah.
I don't like grand, expensive gestures.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I like really thoughtful, really tiny detail, small things. I love.
I hate to be all groovy, but have you heard of the movies? Have you seen, and you don't have to have an answer for this, it's just an extra question.
Go on.
But do you know any good hugs in like films or TV shows, even your own?
Oh, there's a hug at the end of this novel that you're about.
Oh,
you
really? Haven't
finished. There's quite a good hug in there.
Okay, great.
I tell you a hug that I think is very beautiful. Mm. My friend just had this hug recently. He's going through a divorce. Ugh. The hug when you finally decide with someone that you're lovingly going to break up.
No, I hate that.
I think that hug is one of the most intimate hugs of your life in a weird way.
You're letting someone go.
Yeah. And just like that particularly when you've really hated each other for a while.
Yeah.
I just think that hug is like such a powerful hug.
Yeah, because it's a peaceful, like accepting of different paths and stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you follow this woman called Mother Pucker?
No.
She's like a mum blogger, and she and her husband have been like quite a public husband, shared a lot, written books together, written a lot about their lives. And she put up a post the other day that made me sob. I find breakups so unbearable, and I cannot accept that they're a part of life.
I know.
I'm so childish about them.
Yeah.
And she did this post where she was like, me and my husband are breaking up, and this is how we celebrated our final night together. We drank cheap vodka. We laughed. We like 6 a.m. danced to our wedding song.
Oh my God.
And then she put up a screenshot of their text they'd sent each other a couple of days later when he moved out. And it was like them just saying how much more they like each other in this iteration. It was just, I found it so moving. I think because I'm so fucking petty.
Yeah.
And I can't let go of things.
Yeah.
The thought of being able, I've never been able, and that's maybe what this new novel's, what I'm trying to explore, because I find it so hard.
Yeah.
Like the thought of being able to move on from someone really with grace and gratitude is so foreign to me.
Yeah. God, how do we do it? Anyway. Okay, time for Alan de Botain. You've done ever so well. Can I ask what your family are like as well? Very nosy.
I like that, as you said that, as you take out the cards, it's like you're a tarot reader.
Yeah.
Can I check? What?
Can I just check?
What time you were born?
Can I check? Can I check? Do you know your rising sign, my love?
Do you know what? My favourite is that everyone I know in their 30s who sees a psychic, any female I know who goes to see a psychic, they always get exactly the same things, which is, I see a baby in a group, in your friendship group, coming. Hmm. Do you have any problems with your urine or like with your, like, any urine infections have you ever had? And have you ever wanted to move to New York? They all say that.
Wow.
Yeah. Every single psychic that sees a woman in her 30s.
And that's why I don't go.
Yeah.
Yeah, bloody hell. Have you got a good one?
Got a great one, Brenda. Really good. Do it on the phone. Never met her. Do it once
is she
a
good,
year,
though?
But I'm kicking it up to twice. She is. The only thing is with me and psychics, they're always really, really, really clear about my past. And my grandmas always come through, which I love, my two grandmas. And they're always really, really clear about very specific work stuff. Or like this time round, I was getting my flat done up. And she said to me, are you getting your flat done? And I said, yeah. And she's like, you're about to be hit with an enormous surprise cost that I see in the electrics. And then the next day, I was told I had to redo my whole electrics.
Wow.
Stuff like that. But that's in those moments, it's like, wow, amazing. Oh, wow, how funny.
Yeah.
But what do you do with that?
Yeah.
Whereas all the stuff that I've been told about love has been totally wrong.
Yeah, Ashton goes to see this one and she's just wrong every time. Like about
really?
Love. And I went to go see her as well. And she told me to read the plays by Lorca, so I did. But I mean... Fine. I mean, it hasn't changed my life. But
anyway, family, very nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, lovely. Love my family.
Two sisters.
You really are looking like a psychic now with those cards in your hand. No, one brother.
Yeah, similar.
Thought so.
Where did you grow up? Countryside?
No.
By the sea, yeah.
Yeah.
Devon?
No.
Oh, no. The Cotswolds?
No.
Oh, sorry.
I think you're just listing posh places.
Yeah.
No, I grew up in Stanmore.
Where's that?
End of Jubilee Line.
Doesn't work for me.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
God, any
right. Thank you very much. What mistakes would you want to avoid in a future relationship?
Yes. I'm listening.
Oh, I answer
you
that.
You answer, yeah.
But can you answer as well? You have to.
Giving too much, loving too much, not listening to what they need at the same time.
That's so interesting as a pair of things.
Yeah. And then when I was younger, being very selfish, but now I've gone the other way. So now,
yeah.
So now I just need a bit of balance, I think.
Yeah. Do you know, my one is really, really practical and I learned it in my last relationship and I'm determined to not do it again, which is, I don't know if you've felt this, but when you've been single for a long time and when you've been so career obsessed and putting so much time into your friendships and into your work, I found it almost impossible to make time.
Yeah.
And I do really regret that in my last relationship. I did not. I was so worried about, like, you know, not going to 3 birthday drinks on a Friday or whatever, rather than just like having dinner with my boyfriend.
Yeah.
I definitely messed up there.
Yeah, actually, I think I would agree with that, actually, yeah.
It's really hard, though. It takes up quite a lot of time, like falling in love with someone and doing it like...
Well, it's tricky because the last one thought I did put my career first, which I did, and I think you probably should, but you could carve out more time. But then if I carved up more time for him, I'd be even more gutted when it ended. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because then you've ruined your career. Not ruined your career, but then it's like, he did move in and I went on tour for 2 months. Sustication.
From cradle to podcast, maybe the true listening is with our hearts.
Okay, last quizzy. Yeah. What is life all about?
I feel like I'm being too sincere on this.
No, I really want a sincere answer for
okay,
this one.
Okay, all right.
I'm very interested in what you're going to say, actually.
Okay, I think, and I've thought about this a lot over the years, and I now know this from my experience in life, particularly when things are difficult, and from reading a lot from psychologists about like what makes the happiest people.
Yeah.
And also, weirdly, walking around graveyards and seeing what's on tombstones.
Yeah.
I think the meaning of life is the your relationships, your personal relationships.
Yeah.
I think that's the most important legacy that you leave.
Yeah.
I think that's the most sustaining energy that you leave in the world. I think that makes you the happiest. I think it makes other people happiest. I think it's how you learn most about yourself.
Yeah.
I think it's how you develop empathy. I think it's basically like 90% of everything is about who you love and loves you.
Yeah. Oh, that's lovely.
What do you think?
I think it's about connections, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's about connections. I don't think anyone's going to give a shit about our books when we go.
No.
Well, they will, because actually that's about connection. It's about readers connecting with your work, which is also important in that you're giving them something. So you are leaving them the connection of that, you know.
Yeah.
Like, because there's so much energy in a book.
Yeah.
There's so much hope that you want to convey things to people, and you want people to sort of have a nice time and learn and grow when they're reading it. So that is a connection as well.
Yeah. I think it's going back to that thing about career. I would argue that maybe that person wasn't right for you, because I do think, I think one of the reasons I'm like permanently exhausted, and it's all my own fault because I work constantly, and that every minute I'm not working, I'm not meditating or reading or whatever. I am like going to birthday drinks or hanging out with my godchildren or whatever.
Yeah.
And I do, and that is why I've made a definite choice to just have a life of being very tired all the time.
Yeah.
And not really having a moment to myself. But I just cannot sacrifice life for work.
Yeah.
I just refuse. I can't.
Well, I read Emma Gannon's The Success Myth, and that's made me book more holidays as well.
Really?
I'm skint because of Emma bloody Gannon. Yeah. Keep booking fucking holidays. I'm absolutely skin. What is she on about?
I would say I'm tired because of Emma Gannon, because of the multi-hyphen method. Emma Gannon is out there
ruining our lives. She's ruining our lives. Yeah.
She's actually very brilliant. I love her books.
Yeah, fine. No, I'm telling everyone about The Success Myth. Well, especially comedians, because they're all workaholics.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you so much. Everyone should buy your book. It's called
It's called Good Material.
Yeah, it is called Good
Do you know what it was nearly called that my friend Caroline O'Donoghue suggested, because we couldn't fucking find a title for it. It's about a comedian. It was nearly called Open Michael, and I was going to change it.
That is so funny. But I do think, for the sake of a gag, I don't know, I think Good Material is better. I think it would have become respect.
I think it also would have become like, you know, those sort of puns where it's so funny you feel like you're going to be sick for a nanosecond, yeah, and then it very instantly is not that funny.
Oh, that's lovely. That, yeah, it's giving it a bit more respect to call it Good Material.
You couldn't remember what it was called there, did you?
No, because I can't remember so much stuff these days. It just depends on my hormone cycle.
Oh yeah, what day? I'm on a bad day today. What day?
I'm ovulating.
Oh, great. That's why you're so sparkly and charming.
Yeah.
It's sad that going to a silent retreat, you should not be taking ovulation to a silent retreat.
Well, I might have
retreat.
Sex with someone in the silent retreat.
Maybe.
No one says you can't have sex silently.
That's not in the rules.
They haven't said it in the email. They didn't say no physical activity. Oh, they did say no extreme physical activity, but I do it slow.
You do it slow.
Yeah. So romantic. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Well, that's the last episode for a while. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate you being here with me. And also thank you to Dolly Alderton. What a lovely episode to end on. And look, just go easy on yourselves in the meantime. Do feel free to listen to the back catalogue. And it's a big old thank you for all the guests that have been on and given their time. A big old thank you to them and to you for listening. Yes. And do CC everybody in if CC stands for Cuddle Club. Okay.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.